Good morning. Good morning once again from Omaha, Nebraska. This morning I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking to you about Melchizedek. And I will probably share several things about Melchizedek this week, as we recently did a little bit of a study of some of the things related to Melchizedek. So today we're going to start in Genesis chapter 14. Because that is where Melchizedek first comes into the story. The background of the story is that Lot was in trouble and Abraham was coming to his rescue. And so Abraham went down in chapter 14 and fought with the kings in a valley and then rescued Lot and came back. And as he's coming back, we have this scene of him meeting with two kings. So starting in chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me. Okay? So this is a pretty interesting piece of scripture, and from it we get a very mysterious character called Melchizedek. And it doesn't say very much about him, other than he was the king of Salem and that he was the priest of the Most High. And so we have to be careful readers as we go through this description to gain some insight as to who this person is. Now, first of all, I want to talk about the difference between the king of Salem and the king of Sodom. These two were opposites. We know that in short order, God will rain down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah and bring judgment. And that says a lot about what Sodom was like and what the king of Sodom was likely like. Okay. We also find that here that Abram behaves very differently towards the two kings. When it comes to the king of Salem, he gave him a tithe. He paid him out of the spoils of the battle. And when he showed up there, the king of Salem greeted him and blessed him. And so there's a relationship there that we can infer. And we look at the king of Sodom, and the king of Sodom says, Let's divide the spoils. And Abram says, I don't want any of this. All this that is there, I don't want you to have any hold over me. You will take whatever it is, take all of these things except for what the young men ate, and then we will go our separate ways. He was not very friendly to the king of Sodom. He was friendly with the king of Salem, but not friendly with the king of Sodom. And I think that that's really interesting. This is Abraham, the founder, the father of our faith, right? That we are the faith seed of Abraham, and yet here he is, and we see that he's having to make a choice between an allegiance with the king of Sodom or the king of Salem. And he treats them very differently. And so he sends the king of Sodom on his merry way with all the spoils, and he wants nothing of it because he does not want the king of Sodom to have a hold over him. And so, but he paid Melchizedek. Why would he pay Melchizedek? Nowhere in the story has Melchizedek appeared until this very moment. He shows up and he disappears as far as that particular name. And we have no idea why it is that Abram paid him a tithe. So we have the description that he was the priest of the Most High God. He didn't announce that, but Abram knew it. I have the feeling that when Abram walked up that hill and saw the encampment with the two kings, that Abram recognized Melchizedek. He wasn't a stranger. He knew who he was. He was someone familiar, someone he'd had conversations with. We might talk more about that later in the week. But it's very interesting that when you turn to Hebrews, the author of Hebrews has given us a very interesting description of the king of Salem. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, and you look at verses 1 through 3, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." All right? King of Salem, king of peace. They were in Canaan. Where do you suppose he was the king of? Now, this is the really interesting part. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." That is an incredibly interesting description. If you say that he is without father, without mother, and without descent, that means that there's only one person he could be. There's only one. He descended from no one. He came from no one. Every other living creature in this world has descent. Came from somewhere. Came from someone. And yet, this Melchizedek has no ancestors. No father, no mother, no history. Neither beginning of days nor ending of life. If you have no beginning and you have no end, you are eternal, and there is only one eternal being, and that is God himself. Made like unto the Son of God. That is an incredibly interesting description. Who is the Son of God? The one who walked around making that claim was Jesus himself. And we know that Jesus, as a man, had God living inside of him. So here is Melchizedek, who must have had God living inside of him. And yet, he had God living inside of him, yet he had no mother, no father. We know that Jesus had a father. We know that Jesus had a surrogate mother. So he wasn't Jesus. He must have been God himself. The only eternal being who put himself into a body of flesh. The same way that we know that Jesus Jesus was a man having God living inside. So those are the foundational pieces that I wanted to look at this morning and to share with you to think about. Who is Melchizedek? Why is Melchizedek part of the story? And there's another question that we will answer as we go through. If Melchizedek was a flesh body with God living inside, why could he not die for us? Now, we know that certain traditions and denominations will tell you that Jesus is God. And from a certain point of view, that's not entirely wrong. But it needs to be explained. Was Jesus God himself? And if so, did they kill God on the cross? And if so, why couldn't Melchizedek die for us? Those are a few questions that we will consider as we continue our study this week. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.